Have you ever gone somewhere reluctantly and left completely changed? That's what happened to Mario when he accompanied his mother to see Padre Pio. Stay tuned to hear this beautiful story.
Ave unis pes Maria.
Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's story from Padre Pio's life may inspire you in ways you didn't expect. Before we continue, we want to express our heartfelt gratitude to those who already walk this path as protected children of Padre Pio. Your quiet faithfulness is a living reminder that spiritual family is real. And perhaps this message is meeting you at a moment when your faith feels tested, when the weight you carry is known only to God. Becoming a protected child of Padre Pio is not simply about supporting this channel. It's about anchoring your own spiritual life more deeply. It's about placing your intentions, your family, and your hidden struggles under his spiritual care and protection. Your name and intentions are remembered in regular holy masses. A blessed image of Saint Padre Pio and a certificate mark your place within this prayer family. You don't have to walk alone. Take that step today. Join us through the link below. Today's story is sourced from the book Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry, True Stories of Padre Pio, Book 2 by Diane Allen. In today's account, we follow a young man named Mario Bruschi, who reluctantly agreed to accompany his mother to San Giovanni Rotondo, but ended up becoming one of Padre Pio's admirers. It's a bit longer than our usual stories, but it offers some fascinating glimpses into what it was like to be a pilgrim in San Giovanni Rotondo in those days. Let's dive right in. In the summer of 1957, Mario Bruschi and his mother Adele traveled from their home in New York City to the town of Ponte Stambo in northern Italy to visit relatives. Mario's mother had just read a biography of Padre Pio, which she had enjoyed immensely. She decided that while they were in Italy, she wanted to travel to San Giovanni Rotondo to attend Padre Pio's Mass, and she asked Mario to accompany her. But to 23-year-old Mario, the idea did not sound appealing at all. He was having a great time in Ponte Stampo, meeting new friends and going dancing at the local nightclubs. He had a lot more interesting things to do than go to a convent to see an elderly friar, so he declined his mother's invitation. "Your mother should not make the trip alone," his aunt told him. "It would be much safer if you go with her." Mario knew she was right. Reluctantly, he agreed, figuring they'd spend one day at the convent and then be on their way back. But, as you can imagine, things did not unfold the way Mario expected. For one thing, he was already on the train when he discovered that the journey would take at least 12 hours. That alone tested his patience. Then, when they finally arrived at San Giovanni Rotondo, they were informed that they would have to wait 10 days before their number would be called for confession with Padre Pio. 10 days. For Mario, the thought of being stuck there was unbearable. There was the convent, the church, and practically nothing else. Most pilgrims spent nearly the entire day inside the church because that was where Padre Pio could be found. Here's an interesting detail that you don't hear often. The church was not always as quiet as one might expect. The pilgrims were often noisy and rude. The Capuchin friars would sometimes stand at the front and shout, "Silencio!" But no one paid attention. Yet, whenever Padre Pio himself asked for silence, the entire church became quiet immediately. Mario and his mother attended Padre Pio's early morning mass, which began at 5 a.m. For the pilgrims, it was the highlight of the day. For Mario, it was a test of patience. It was the longest weekday mass he had ever attended. He found himself annoyed at how long it took. It seemed excessive. There was also a custom at the time. Pilgrims who had traveled from far away were sometimes invited to serve at Padre Pio's Mass. Mario himself was asked if he would like to be the altar server. He declined. Kneeling on the hard stone floor for such a long Mass did not sound like something he would like to do. But as the days passed, the annoyance faded. Instead, he began to feel uplifted. The Mass was still long, but for some reason, the time seemed to pass quickly. Mario watched Padre Pio closely. At times, he would stare upward at a fixed spot and remain completely motionless. Tears would fall freely from his eyes. He seemed to be witnessing something no one else could see. Mario then describes what a typical day in San Giovanni Rotondo looked like. After Mass, people lined in the corridors and hallways, hoping to catch a glimpse of Padre Pio as he passed by. At noon, the Angelus was prayed. Each day, Padre Pio blessed religious articles, and sometimes he would also bless cars and occasionally even animals. Mario and his mother attended the afternoon rosary, followed by benediction, which Padre Pio presided over. Then, in the evening, many pilgrims gathered in the open field outside a convent. Holding lighted candles, they prayed the rosary together and waited for Padre Pio to appear at the small window of his cell. Eventually, he would open the shutters, wave a handkerchief, and say goodnight. The crowd would wave back and call out, "Padre Pio, pray for my family. Padre Pio, pray for my intentions. Good night, Padre. We love you." One afternoon, Mario walked into the church while a wedding was taking place. Padre Pio happened to be the celebrant. Mario had his camera and happily began taking pictures. But Padre Pio motioned to one of the friars to speak to him. Mario was told that photographs were not allowed inside the church. He quickly put the camera away, satisfied that he managed to take about 7 photos before being stopped. But later, when he had the film developed, all of them came out blank. He asked the developer for an explanation. The film was brand new. The man said he could find no reason for the malfunction. Later, Mario learned that it was not unusual for photos to come out blank when Padre Pio did not want to be photographed. On another occasion, Mario happened to be in the sacristy as Padre Pio prepared for benediction. The moment Padre Pio placed the amice over his shoulders, Mario suddenly perceived a beautiful fragrance of roses filling the room. The day of Mario's confession finally arrived. He grew increasingly nervous as the time approached. He had heard about Padre Pio's gifts and dreaded the thought that he might be able to read his soul. Mario was afraid that Padre Pio might see and reveal the sins he was ashamed of. Then something happened that shook him even more. While waiting in line, Mario witnessed Padre Pio sharply rebuke a man in the confessional and ordered him out. The man left the church visibly humiliated, his face flushed as he walked past a long line of men waiting their turn. Seeing this, Mario felt his courage collapse. "What if the same thing happens to me?" he thought. "After all, I have not been very faithful in practicing my religion." His hands began to tremble. When the line moved forward, Mario quietly told the man behind him that he could go ahead instead. "But Padre Pio is pointing at you," the man replied. Mario looked up. It was true. Padre Pio was looking directly at him and motioning him to come forward. The man behind him even gave him a small shove. At the time, men's confessions were heard in an open confessional in the sacristy of the old church. Padre Pio sat on a chair, a wooden kneeler placed in front of him. A curtain provided privacy. Very slowly, Mario walked towards it. Slowly, he reached for the curtain and pulled it closed. He was hoping that by his slow movements, he might buy a few moments to collect himself. After he finally knelt, Padre Pio patted his hand and said gently, "Be tranquil, my son. Calm yourself." Those words seemed to carry a strange power. Instantly, Mario felt a deep calm wash over him. The trembling stopped completely. Padre Pio then began asking him a series of questions. "Do you say your morning prayers?" "No," Mario admitted. "Do you say your night prayers?" Again, he answered no. "Do you tell lies?" "Yes," Mario replied quietly. It went on like that for some time. Padre Pio seemed to know exactly what to ask. They were all related to Mario's areas of weaknesses. He had a feeling that Padre Pio knew the answers even before he asked. At one point, Mario found himself staring at Padre Pio's face. There was something striking about it, a luminous quality he had never seen before. Padre Pio looked healthy, his cheeks slightly rosy. He felt like he was looking at goodness itself. But most impressive were his dark, penetrating eyes. Mario would later say, "I felt that Christ himself was there hearing my confession." "I do not know what to do with my life," Mario said. "I don't know what career to pursue. Could you give me advice?" "Pray, my son," Padre Pio answered gently. Mario then asked about a matter concerning one of his brothers. "Pray, my son." Then he spoke about his mother. Once again, Padre Pio replied, "Pray, my son." Finally, Padre Pio said, "Go in peace, my son," and gave him a blessing. The confession was over, but Mario did not want to leave. He wanted to stay forever. The thought came to him that if Padre Pio had asked him to remain in San Giovanni Rotondo, he would have agreed in an instant. He would gladly do any work, no matter how menial, just to be near him. But that was wishful thinking. He and his mother would soon return north and then back to New York. Mario remembered the long line of men waiting patiently just a few feet away. He forced himself to get up and walk out. Later that afternoon, a Capuchin priest named Father Giovanni Battista asked Mario how the confession went. Mario described it as a truly heavenly experience. He told him some of the details. But then the priest asked him something unexpected. "Did Padre Pio say the words, 'I absolve you'?" Mario paused. "No, he did not." "That means you received a blessing," Father Giovanni explained, "but not absolution." The priest reassured him not to worry. On occasion, Padre Pio withheld absolution for reasons known only to him. Other Capuchins would then hear the confession and grant absolution instead. "Everything will be all right." But Mario felt deeply disappointed. Even though he was assured that everything was fine, he could not help wondering what had gone wrong. He followed Father Giovanni into the private quarters of the convent. Once again, he made his confession. He received absolution and was assured that he was in a state of grace. As they left the small chapel and walked down the corridor, they passed by Padre Pio's cell. The door was open. A young altar boy was helping Padre Pio put on his sandals. Mario was startled to see that Padre Pio's bed was completely covered with letters, so many that not even the blankets could be seen. "Mario, this is your chance," Father Giovanni Battista whispered. "Stand by the door and ask Padre Pio for absolution." But the thought terrified him. A moment later, Padre Pio stepped out into the corridor and saw Mario standing there. Father Battista had quietly disappeared. Mario knelt. "What is it you want?" Padre Pio asked. "I think you forgot to give me absolution during my confession," Mario replied. "If it is possible, I would like to receive it now." Padre Pio placed his hands on Mario's head and blessed him again. Mario kissed his hand and waited. But the words of absolution were still not spoken. Padre Pio turned and began walking down the corridor. After a few steps, he stopped and looked back at Mario with deep concentration. For several moments, he remained motionless, his eyes lifted towards heaven. Then he continued walking until he disappeared from view. The next day, Mario and his mother were scheduled to leave San Giovanni Rotondo. Father Giovanni told him that Padre Pio would be near the convent stairway at 11 o'clock that morning, and that he could receive a final blessing there. At the time appointed, Mario was waiting. When Padre Pio arrived, Mario told him that he and his mother were leaving that day. Padre Pio blessed him and said, "May the angel of God accompany you on your journey." As Padre Pio began descending the stairs, Mario took hold of one of his arms to help him down, while another friar supported the other side. Mario could immediately feel how much Padre Pio was suffering. Every step was painful because of the wounds in his feet. Mario knew what a privilege it was to help him down those stairs. As they made their way toward the landing, many people reached out their hands, trying to touch Padre Pio and speak to him. Mario reflected many times on every detail of that trip to San Giovanni Rotondo. Visiting Padre Pio had made him aware of the great spiritual distance between himself and God. He came to realize that he had been offending God by his lifestyle. If Padre Pio had not denied him absolution, he might never have realized his soul was in grave danger. That confession marked a turning point. He would never be indifferent to spiritual matters again. And with that, we conclude today's story. Thank you for watching. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.